Hello and welcome to episode number 56 of the WP Cafe Show with me, Keith Devon.
And with me, Mark Wilkinson. Well, I don't know about where you are, Keith, but the weather here is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's been nice.
Gorgeous sunshine, nice and warm. I've actually got some shorts on today for the first time in a long time.
A bit chilly here. We've got a bit of an easterly breeze, I think. It's a bit chilly, but the sun's shining. It's pretty lovely. We've had some good weather recently. So
makes a change that we've got better weather than you. You're normally much better than us down south. So
yeah, it's true.
Good.
Yeah.
So
it'd be good to aggregate all of our morning greetings, because every morning we greet each other with a little weather emoji. And it'd be kind of fun to do like an aggregation of that to see what the weather difference really is between north and south.
Mine'd be worse, definitely.
I think so. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, there you are. Welcome. Anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody. We've got a few things to chat about this week. We'll talk about building native blocks for our product, our RecPress product. Oh, exciting. The good and the bad and the ugly of that. We'll talk a little bit about ACF, Advanced Custom Fields. Maybe not specifically about that plugin, but stuff around some of the new features that they've added and what that means for the plugin and the general principles of what plugins should be and, you know, what they should do, what they shouldn't do. I think that'll be kind of interesting. Talk a little bit about some AI stuff, but mostly just point you towards an event that happened yesterday that is pretty interesting. But first and foremost, WordPress is 20 years old tomorrow. So we're recording this on Friday, the 26th of May, 2023. And it's WordPress, it's the 20th birthday
20
tomorrow.
20 years. Wow.
How do you feel about that, Mark?
It makes me feel old.
Yeah.
Very old.
That's my primary emotion.
Right. I mean, I started, we were chatting just before, getting the notes ready for the show, and I started using WordPress in early 2007. I bought my first domain name in November 2005, and then I had a period where I was sort of building websites without WordPress, and then found WordPress, sort of found WordPress late 2006, but didn't use it and understand what it was. And then started, I can't remember what the site was that, but it might have been my own site actually, I think I built, learning how to sort of like manage, edit the themes and stuff like that. And it was version 1.5. Which, if you Google a little screenshot for version 1.5 in the admin, you will be amazed at what it looked like. It was
because it's exactly the same.
No, it's very different. Very different. Very basic. Very unstyled in lots of ways. You know, very not much sort of. I don't know what the word is, but yeah, it looks a lot different than it was. But back then, it looked, you know, modern and. It's quite interesting. So.
Because I think whenever... So I started, I was a few years, I came along to WordPress a few years after you. It was kind of mid-2010. We kind of researched it earlier. I went trolled back through my email history to find the first project that I ever used WordPress with. And I won that project in like March 2010. And so I must have, I think... that point I was kind of researching which content management system to use and I found WordPress. So that was definitely the first WordPress site I built. And I've got a feeling that the admin hasn't changed that much since I started using it. Not really significantly. It's like pages, posts, media down that left hand menu bar. So I think I don't know what version it was. I think it might have been like 2.9 or something when I started.
It had like three iterations, I think, as the admin. It's had the sort of very old school, which was like a light blue and grey, which is the one I'm talking about, if you look for that really old school ones. And then it went into sort of like the boxed era, where everything was like a Metabox style with rounded corners, and that was like a grey sort of style. And then they redid the admin in like a feature plugin. Was it like, it had a funny name, like D37 or some, or MP4, I don't know. I can't remember what. And then they merged that into Core, and that's pretty much what we've got today, I think. Obviously, there's been changes, but essentially the sort of general graphical style that we've got today is that, essentially. And that's when we got the options to change the colour schemes and things, you know, in the back end that you could pick your colour schemes. Which is a very good idea, by the way. Live sites, make them the red colour scheme, and then, you know, you're the live site.
Sunrise or something, that what that theme's called?
I always do
something?
That with mine. So if I log in and it's got the sunrise colour scheme, I know I'm on a live site, so I've just got to be careful. And then stage, you know, I usually make it like the coffee colour scheme, I think it is. And then
that's a really good idea.
Stays what I am normally. You could even write something to detect what location or what environment you're in, and then set the colour scheme.
Yeah. If you're watching along live, love to know what version of WordPress, or like what year and what version of WordPress you started with. That'd be really interesting. Or if you're not watching live, if you just leave something in the comments, it'd be interesting to see where everyone started their WordPress journey. What are any significant moments for you along that? In those, how many years is it since you've been using it? Like 15 years? 16 years?
I haven't thought about the answer to that question, so I'm going to miss something really obvious. But the one that sticks out in my mind is custom post types.
Yeah.
So when that came along, previously, like, I was using sort of posts for lots of things and categorizing them to do in different parts of the website. And
that's right.
Bodging it to work. Whereas as soon as custom post types came out, it made a lot more sense, and a lot more sense for customers as well, obviously, to edit the content and things like that. So that was good. I think that was around about WordPress 3.0-ish. I might be wrong.
Yeah.
It's been a while, anyway.
I thought custom post types was not 3.0. I thought it was one of the following ones. But
potentially,
I could be wrong. I could be wrong, actually.
I think we're in the right era, though.
That was definitely a big change. Like, I was fully on board with WordPress before that. I'm pretty sure I'd started the WP London, WordPress London meetup, and there were talks about custom post types as the fresh, exciting new thing. So, and that was early days of WordPress London. So, would have been around then. Just after I started using it, basically. I think they came along.
Yeah. Definitely a bit of a game changer. So I remember using Brian Gardner's Revolution themes prior to like custom post types. And he was sort of like, you know, pulling in different content into different places in those themes. And that sort of like opened my eyes into like, ooh, how we could do that for different sites and, you know, displaying different, not just displaying a post, but displaying different posts in different places and lists of posts and things. So that was interesting. And then when custom post apps came along, it made all that made more sense. You know what I mean? You could do more things easier. So, All very exciting.
I think that's probably when WordPress had to be taken more seriously as maybe a content management system rather than just a kind of hacked blogging tool. I think that was a big change. A very, very welcome one.
The other milestone for me, I think, is when WordPress multi-site became just WordPress, and like WordPress itself had a multi-site capability, because previously they were two separate projects. You had the WordPress MU, which was the multi-user, I think it stood for at the time. And then that was merged in, I don't know when it was. So you could just essentially turn that feature on in a normal WordPress install, which was good, rather than having to manage two things.
Pretty incredible that a bit of software is still going very, very, very strong 20 years later. I'm sure there aren't loads of examples of that, something that's stood the test of time for this long. It's an eternity in the software world, isn't it? Like 20 years.
It's a long time, isn't it? But I'm not sure. I mean, it's like Microsoft Office has been going a long time.
Yeah, that's the one that stood out to me. That's the one that jumped
things
out.
Like, but Apache has probably been going a long time and still runs on lots of servers. So there's probably, there are a handful, but things do come and go, don't they?
Yeah.
Trends, but it's stuck around. There's no sign of it dying off, is there? So,
not really.
Who knows? It might be here another 20 years. What will it look like in 20 years' time, I wonder? Scarily, I'll be in my 60s then, which is quite worrying.
Yeah. I can't even begin to picture what the world is going to look like, never mind the tech landscape in that period of time. Considering how fast things feel like they're moving right now, I know that might just be a bit of a perception, and actually all these AI advancements and things kind of look cleverer than they are, or look more significant maybe than they actually are. I don't know. But yeah, like 20 years from now, I couldn't even guess. I don't have that kind of vision for the future. But it's going to be different. It's going to be different. If WordPress survives in our 20 years, I will be astounded. Like, absolutely. Yeah. I just don't see how that happens. But yeah, it'd be amazing if it did. Let's hope so.
We will see. Yeah. Watch this space for the next 20 years.
Well, happy birthday, WordPress.
Maybe the podcast will be going in 20 years' time and we'll still be talking about it. Who knows?
We should have got little streamers or hats or something. Maybe some kind of cake or something. We've really let ourselves down for this episode. Cake would have been good, yeah. Forget the rest of it. I might just go and have some cake. Moving on. Mark, you've been building some blocks.
I have, actually, quite successfully as well, which is quite scary. So I was we've got our RecPress job board product, and we integrate that into other people's websites. So the variety of types of websites that we integrate with is wide. You know, some are running Elementor, some are running Divi, some are running just a theme, some are running blocks, some are barely running at all and they've fallen over and so forth. So the ways in which we integrate and create the like the job listings page and setting up the template for a single job has to be quite dynamic and change based on what type of site we're integrating it with. So, for example, we have a set of shortcodes that we can use to work on sites such as Elementor sites, which will obviously accept a shortcode and we can set it up that way.
Yeah.
We also have a template in the plugin which can be loaded as and when it's needed if they're not using any of those things. But what we thought would be really good is if we could use blocks to use and construct using the site editor, for example, the single template page. So, for example, a block that outputs the consultant details, a block that outputs the job description, a block that outputs the sort of at-a-glance job data, you know, the metadata you might associate with a job and the application form, etc. So I went about trying to have a go at building all of those different blocks so that we could, for block-based themes specifically, we could start using that and build up those templates with blocks. It was surprisingly good. I managed to get a lot further. I think this is one of those things where we did that course, didn't we? I want to say 12 months ago. It might be less than that, but it was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's less than that, I think, but yeah.
And I think during the time of the course, it was very difficult and so on. But actually looking back now, doing what I did this week, it really helped the course because it triggered things in your memory about what was happening. And although I couldn't remember it all, definitely helped. So that was good.
So how did you go about building these blocks? So did you go back to the course material to follow the steps, or did you?
I didn't. I would have if I hadn't have got as far as I'd got without doing that. I think my approach is usually just dive in and have a go and then get to a point where you think, no, I can't do this without going back to the course. But I didn't get to that point, which was good. I actually looked at the plugin that I built during the course, which helped me remind myself how I did things. So I used the Create Block plugin package, I think that's what they call it.
Yeah.
It's like an MPX thing, which you install. I don't quite understand how it works. You download a lot of stuff and then it kind of builds you a plugin. The problem I had was that I already have a plugin. I don't want a new plugin. I want to just have blocks in my existing plugin. So I kind of set up a block plugin and then kind of moved the parts from the one that created into mine. That was a little bit tricky working out which bits needed to move and what needed to change and like referencing different files. But it was relatively straightforward. And then the other thing was that is set up to actually build a block, one block. I wanted multiple blocks. Therefore, how did that work with the build process? And it turns out it's actually very straightforward in that the scripts that the Create Block plugin builds actually is already looking for multiple blocks. You just need to put them in a separate folder in the source folder, and it will then build them all for you without you doing anything, which is really easy. Watched a very good video from someone on YouTube. I can't remember the name. Aruba.
Aruba, yeah. Aruba Bass.
I can't remember the name. Yeah. Very good video. She was explaining exactly how to do that, which is good. If you're struggling to do that, you can give that a watch. We'll try and pop that in the description of the show notes or something later. Managed to get a block that uses attributes to sort of like set different things. And then essentially, they all use the same functions, the dynamic blocks. So they don't, you know, the server-side rendered blocks. And they all use the same function that the shortcode uses. So they kind of all hook into the same thing in WordPress, which was quite nice. And it appears to be working. I broke a lot of styles that Keith needs now to style, but other than that, make that work. It was good. It was really good.
Any kind of hurdles, difficulties, drawbacks? What was hard?
There was two things that I found hard. So one of them is like error messages, like understanding why something is broken. Now, sometimes it appears to tell you in the console exactly why it's broken. So I'd get like undefined, I can't remember what the error was, but basically like I'm calling inspector controls in the code, but I haven't defined it type thing. I haven't right. pulled it into the project. And it would tell me that in the console, but sometimes it would just sort of give a generic React error that has a link, and then you click on it, and the error is just like really generic, and it was just difficult to understand what had gone wrong. That's interesting. So that was difficult at times. But my main bugbear with it all is that when you're building blocks like this, you drop a block onto the page and you add some settings. You know, you've built this block in JavaScript and you drop it into the editor and you add some settings. Then you make some changes because you realize you need to change X, Y, and Z or something like that. And you need to remove the block and re-add the block every time you make a change for it to actually take on your settings changes in the editor, which I just found really frustrating. Now, maybe I'm doing something wrong there, but I couldn't get my changes to show in the block unless the block was removed and added again. And that kind of makes sense because if you've added an attribute to a block, that attribute is not present on the block that is sat in the editor until you've re-added it with the updated code, if that makes sense. It does. So it's just quite frustrating. You know, I'm used to coding away, making a change, refresh, and then you see your changes, and that you just can't do that. You've got to take it off and run it back again.
So there's different types of block, right? Like, is there not a type of block that does basically take, like, it's much more kind of server-side, like, rendered that you could potentially do that with, and then once you're happy with it, you could sort of turn it into a more, I don't know, I can't remember how all this actually works, but do you see what I'm sort of getting at? Like, is there a way that you could create a block that you can build it and test it, and then you convert it to the other type of block right at the end where it's a bit more kind of static and you'd have to do that manual re-adding the block thing? Or am I just talking out of my
I honestly don't know. So the way I did it was the front end is server-side rendered, so which is apparently actually the create block plugin allows you to define that your block is dynamic. So it creates all of the necessary things to give you a PHP file. Essentially, this is the file that runs when you're on the front end.
Right.
Actually, you can get it to run the back end as well, but it doesn't work. So I didn't go down that route. I just, you need to know a bit about block space, but in my JavaScript's edit function, if that's the right term, I just outputted a sentence that said, this will be replaced with the consultant on the front end type of that thing. And the reason why I think it doesn't work in the back end is because you've no post. Because I'm on the site editor, I'm in a template, there is no post for it to render the content with. So it just gets confused about what to render and what not to render. So,
and you can't pass it a post? Like, you can't go and say, like, give me the most recent job post?
That would be great if you could do that. Yeah. But I don't know how to do that. So that would be good. But yeah, so I don't know is your answer to your question about how you could make it easier to do that. It would be really useful because it is quite frustrating, particularly if you've got a complicated block where you've set things up and then you have to go and set them up again. And I suppose I don't know, could you copy it? You couldn't really copy it because you've got to drop the new code onto the page. So it becomes a bit of a pain.
Well, if anyone has any ideas about how to get around that, I think, I mean, I certainly find that frustrating whenever I was doing the block development course. That's yeah, it seems like a really inefficient way to work and to develop things, but someone clever will come up with a solution for that, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, it was good. So
good.
I have blocks. How many have we got? Is it five, I think we've got?
Yeah.
Let's have a look in the one, two,
lots,
three, four.
Lots for me
five
to do
blocks.
Now.
Six blocks that we can use in the site editor, so that's good. And they all have equivalent short codes, which we can also then use in, you know, something like Elementor or Divi or something like that to work with, which is nice.
Very good. Yeah, so I need to get my bit finished and then we can launch that. That'll be cool.
Yep.
Excellent. Speaking of launches, Advanced Custom Fields launched a new version. You tweeted about it. A little bit of controversy, maybe, but let's talk about what you tweeted and what you meant and what some of the responses were to that.
Great segue, by the way. I like that.
Thanks.
So my tweet, this was, I don't know which version it was, actually. Let me just click on the link that's launched. 6.1 was released. I think it was early April that it was actually released. And in one of the features, among many, I'm sure, was that they are introducing the ability to register custom post types and taxonomies with the plugin. And I just tweeted, I'm not sure about this, to be honest. It seems something a little different, as I've always believed plugins should focus on doing one thing where possible and doing it well. And, you know, custom fields, is that custom fields? Should that be left to something else? Ask people what they think, really. That was all. I get why it's there, I guess, but I just wondered if it's something that people think which is the right thing to do, or whether they think it's, again, should be left to somewhere else to register those taxonomies and post types.
Yeah, possibly. I wonder if the name of the plugin influenced your reaction, because it's called Advanced Custom Fields and they're doing stuff that isn't custom fields. I wonder if that kind of... Because if it would have been called, I don't know what... But if it had a bit of a more generic name, Extend WP, for example, and then they added this stuff, it would seem to me that they're very related. Like, they're different, but related. Like, when you're adding custom fields, there's a pretty good chance that you're also maybe dealing with taxonomies and potentially dealing with post types. And
yeah, I get that.
Packaging that seems sensible to me, I think.
Yeah, that's like I said in the tweet. I'm not sure, to be honest.
It just
strikes as a whole suite of functionality that is already in WordPress and there's already plugins to do it as well. But yeah, I totally get that people do tie the two together. So, if it means that it's going to benefit them, then maybe that's the right call. And actually, it's not, obviously... I'm just thinking about like maintaining a plugin and adding all that functionality. And when WordPress starts to change the way post types are registered and taxonomies are registered, there's lots of work to do there. But
yeah,
Advanced Custom Fields know their customers, I'm sure, and they know what they want, and if they want it.
I think so.
Go for
and
it.
I think, let's call it Ian. I'll just put this up on screen. Ian, who works on the plugin, is watching. He says ACF more. Advanced Custom Fields less. So I think he's referring to the naming there. I think probably trying to get away from it being called Advanced Custom Fields, probably for this very reason. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ian. Let's refer to it as ACF. Yeah, I think obviously we use it as developers, did use it, and it was very, very useful. Turned something very laborious and tricky into something kind of GUI-based and like... very, very accessible and easy to use. And I guess they're just extending that to more of what we know how to do, but other people don't. Yeah. Which I think is probably a good thing. And obviously knowing the team behind it and knowing the plugin and having used it for a long time, you know, they'll probably do a good job of it. So yeah, it's but I totally agree with your overall concern about plugins and how much they take on. There is no end to the number of plugins that are too big and try to do too much. And where do you draw that line? How do you draw that line?
I agree. And once a plugin gets doing complicated things, that line gets blurred. You know, it has to do more than one thing sometimes and so forth. I completely get that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure it will be a success as it is an excellent plugin. So I'm sure it'll be fine. I mean, there's a little conversation in the comments if you put some of those on the screen, but about registering things. I mean, I don't actually use, really, I don't use the interface in the ACF in the back end at all. I just register everything in PHP. So it's all version control and things like that.
Yeah.
You can do that. There's other ways of doing that as well. I think there's a JSON feature where you can use a JSON file to sort of sync changes between environments and people. So there's options for there. But so I would want to do that in code anyway. But like I said, that's just me. I'm one person. Like I said, I'm not sure if it's the right thing to do, but the customers will say whether it is or not, which is good.
Yeah, 100%. I'll just read a few of the comments because there's some interesting comments. So Derek Long, he says, I agree, seemed odd to me. So I guess he's sort of agreeing with your concern, Mark. Nice feature, I suppose, just unexpected. I've never used a plugin for custom post types, but maybe I will now, unsure. Well, if you never have and you don't need to, then don't. But I don't know. Or maybe do. Maybe it will, maybe try it out and it'll be really easy and a really nice experience. Munch 92. There's so many plugins for registered post types and taxonomies, etc. I don't mind it's there. Don't think I'll use it, but I get it. Yeah, and there's something to be said for, you know, if you're doing all of these things on all the sites that you build and you're having to install 4 plugins and hope that they all work together, it's kind of nice that you just have to, if you can just use one instead, there's definitely something to be said for that. Tony, I've used CPT UI plugin in the past and spotted ACF seemed to be muscling in. I tend to export the custom post type definitions and incorporate in my own code. That's kind of it's not quite what we do, but yeah, we do like bring it into code. So like Mark said, it's version controlled.
I think if you're registering custom post types via a plugin, whether it's the CPT UI one, which I think is a Web Dev Studios one, I might be wrong, or whether it's presumably by ACF, that surely involves a database call, I would imagine. Yeah. Not that it's very heavy, I wouldn't imagine. Whereas you obviously, if you're doing it in code, it's potentially a little less, bit more performant. I'm not that much of an expert on that, but
yep.
Just imagine that's the case. So I would probably want to, in production, like Tony says, make it in code as well.
Yeah, I'll pull a few more up here. Ian, thanks for joining us. Ian, the thing to remember is that ACF has such a large user base. Many people won't use it the same as you. Absolutely. I kind of mentioned that a bit earlier. Completely agree. Bit of a conversation going on. So check out the live show comments. I won't go through the whole conversation, but yeah, nice to have people chatting in there. Thanks for joining us as well, Ian, to get the official view. And I'll remember to call it ACF in the future. But yeah, interesting stuff. Like, it's a plugin that I have, well, we both have very, very high opinions of. So yeah, it's good stuff. If you haven't used it, definitely recommend checking it out. Moving on.
I wonder if they're going to move. Mark. I wonder if they're going to move it to acf.com.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it's advancedcustomfields.com, isn't it? The website for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I know it's branded now as ACF on the website. It might have been like that for a while, actually.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. We don't have too much to say about AI. The only thing I was going to really say is that Human Made had a very interesting conference is the wrong word, but little WordPress in AI event that they held yesterday. And I managed to catch a little bit of it. I saw an interesting demo by Joe Hoyle that the team at Human Made have built into their Altus product. It's just like prompt. Well, it's all prompt based, isn't it? Well, not all, but in the blocker editor, there's this little like prompt block or something. And he just typed in a few things and it was unbelievably clever. He was talking about like, I've got a snooker league with my friends. Can you kind of create this? And it like, he didn't even ask it to create a table, but it created a table block with like the appropriate like wins, draws, losses, points, columns, and like player A, B, C, D, E, F, G down the side. So it created a native block with that. And then he said, well, the names of my friends are such and such. So, and then it, it It went and swapped out the player A, player B for all the names. And it was just, it was very, very cool. Like to see something creating native blocks and manipulating those blocks, you know, so it doesn't just create it and that's it. You can then ask it to change it. It was super cool. But there's a bunch of stuff that I missed as well, including some stuff in, well, pretty amazing stuff by Elementor, which I caught a little clip of. And that just looked like a kind of prompt-based editor. You know, change. Can you change this icon to white? Yeah, done. Kind of thing. You know, it was pretty. It's pretty cool stuff. And you know, I think that really is the way that everything's going to go soon. Potentially, you just like, and it'll all be voice-based, and you won't even have to type it. You'll just say. Can you shift that button over to the left? Can you align that to the right? Can you change the color of this to green? Can you add this image above that bit of text? Like,
it is interesting and quite exciting, but I always, all the examples you see, and they're great and they're fantastic, the result is always what you want. Now, there is going to be a time where the result isn't what you want.
Yeah.
You know, can you make this white and it goes beige, or it goes black, or, I, you know what I mean? I mean, that's a simple example. I can't see AI getting that wrong. But the reason why I think that is because obviously listeners who've listened to the show before will know that I've been trying out the GitHub Copilot extension, which is AI for your code, essentially, and it suggests what you want to do based on a comment or based on what you started to type, etc. It is outstandingly good, but it doesn't get it right all the time. So if the end product, you know, if you've asked it to do something and it's made all the changes on your page and they're wrong, is it better than having to sort of make those changes by clicking some buttons? I'm not quite sure. And the reason why I say is because of how many people use Siri on their iPhone? I don't know, but not that many, because it's not that good. Maybe because it does do simple things really well, and I use it for some simple things, but some things it gets wrong too often, so you forget it and you just jump back to using the buttons type thing.
Yeah,
it's interesting to see how good it can get at doing things to make it much easier, but I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will over time.
Yeah, if you follow us on Twitter, I've retweeted and liked a post by Noel Talk. I can't remember his exact role at Human Made these days. Chief Growth Officer, or something like that, maybe. But he tweeted out like some little snippets of some of the demos, little video snippets. So I've retweeted them from the WP Cafe account and my own account. So you can check that out. And if you're interested in any of the stuff that's going on, definitely have a look. But I think it is, I think it is really, really interesting. I think the way that we use WordPress is going to change. I did see a comment as well, which I thought was really interesting. I think it was off the back of this event, the AI event. Someone said the future of WordPress depends on whether AI is going to think it's the best tool for the job, as in eventually we're just gonna say, I think it was along, I don't know the context of that comment, but I'm guessing it's along the lines of, I want a website, you know, ChatGPT, can you go and create me a website about X? And whether WordPress survives into the future is whether ChatGPT decides that WordPress is the best platform to build that website on. Which I thought was really, really interesting.
It has surprised me. I mean, that GitHub Copilot thing, like, we were on a call this morning and we had a client asking us something, and it was basically, we were telling them like the metadata is stored in this key and you need to use that basically. And I said to Keith at the time, I could probably just write him a piece of code that he could drop onto his thing. And we're like, well, we probably shouldn't do that because it's out of scope and everything. So I literally just opened up a thingy, typed a comment. And GitHub Copilot literally got it right, exactly right. All I needed to do was change the meta key because I hadn't put that in the comment. And the code, I could literally just copy and paste it. Quite clever.
It is clever.
It's getting better and better, definitely.
I don't know. I think if anyone is maybe burying their head in the sand about the whole AI thing, or think it's going to be a fad that washes over us, I would, I'd strongly disagree and encourage people to, no matter how you feel about it as a technology and how it's going to disrupt things and disrupt your own business and your own life and the world economy, it's here now, and it's not going to be used less and less. It's going to be used more and more and more. And I think you just got to get on board with these things, like any technological advance.
Yeah, I was having a conversation. I think, was it with my mum? About when I rolled my ankle the other week and I went to get it x-rayed and stuff. It's like all the waiting around is waiting for people almost. And it's like, I was just saying to my mum, like, oh, probably AI could look at that x-ray and just tell me whether it was broken straight away. And then she was like, oh, yeah, but you can't have that. You can't have like a human not looking at it. And I was saying, well, surely if AI has a success rate of 99%, then that's better than a human. So yeah, it will make mistakes, but the humans will make mistakes anyway. So,
well, I had a mole that I wanted to get checked out recently. So I booked the appointment, weeks later I get to see a nurse. She takes a few photos, sends them off. And I actually need to call back to see the results, find out the results. But I was thinking, I bet you could just train an AI on a whole load of, cancerous moles and non-cancerous moles images, and it would do a better job, and it would be instant. And you could create a website, checkmymole.com, and upload it. You get an instant result. The website has a massive disclaimer saying, we are not, trained professionals, but according to our data, we think you have an X percent chance of this. And part of me thinks that's a terrible idea because you're taking things out of the realm of like the professionals. And another part of me thinks, but how many people are not getting things checked out because the process is so slow or they just can't be bothered? And if they could do it within 30 seconds on their phone, how many more people would check out moles? I would be doing my whole body. I'd just be like, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one.
It's interesting. I was watching a video on YouTube. I can't remember who it was by. They do lots of journalistic videos. And this one was all about, have we already got the cure for cancer? And it turns out like the cure for cancer is actually the fact that we don't catch it early enough. So if you actually, because we don't go to the doctors to check things out because, essentially it's too hard and too time consuming. We're like the same sort of thing. If you could send that to an AI that says, actually, you've got a 99% chance that's fine, or it's the same sort of thing, isn't it? So it's going to change. Things are going to change. Anyway, we're getting a bit off topic here.
A little bit off topic, yeah. And if anyone goes and registers checkmymole.com, I'm going to be really disappointed. So don't steal my billion-dollar idea. I think that's it. We've gone a bit over our usual allotted time, so it has been lovely to have you all join us today for this chat. I hope you have a lovely, lovely weekend.
Bank holiday.
We'll see you next time. Yeah, bank holiday for us. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.